For consumers, the appeal of shopping at big warehouse stores like the Costco's and Sam's Clubs of the world is that you can buy stuff in bulk and hopefully save a few bucks in the process. For some people, it pans out that way. If you like your ketchup and go through it fast, it might make financial sense to get the big bottle that lasts longer than a bunch of little ones. What if you can't afford the supersized bottle, let alone the membership fee? Then you wind up spending more on ketchup in the long run. Nancy Wong is a professor of consumer science at UW-Madison. She joins us now to look at the economics of big warehouse stores and why it's sometimes more expensive to be poor. Nancy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about that second point first. Sometimes there's a little irony here that people who have less money can't afford to buy stuff in bulk that would save them money. Can you talk about how that plays off and it plays out, especially in these big warehouse stores?
Well, I think first of all, very much depends on whether you have, I think, the ability to buy in bulk, meaning that you have, I think, the money to spend as well for the warehouse memberships, as well as having the storage space to accommodate, you know, a big enough freezers for those purchases in bulk.
Now, you were quoted in a Marketplace article saying you used to shop at Costco, but stopped because the math didn't work out right for you. What happened?
Well, you know, I guess when you are in a small household, when it was just my husband and myself, when you buy, I think, 20 pieces of steak, unless you pretty soon run out of freezer space, and some of the perishable items, you realize that you can only make a small dent in that volume before you have to throw everything out because you're past the expiration date.
So how, for a consumer, how should they calculate, how should they try to figure out whether buying in a warehouse style store is right for them and if they're actually saving money by doing it?
Well, I think one of the first things that you should do is to actually look at the unit pricing of, I think, the amount of, I guess, of the purchase items, because sometimes big volume is not necessarily cheaper. Oftentimes, there could be times when it is actually more expensive to buy a bigger container of, let's say, a laundry detergent, or perhaps that bottle of ketchup. So I guess some states actually have unit pricing rules so that the grocery stores are required to actually have that unit pricing to allow shoppers to be able to make that value comparison. But it is not necessarily followed and mandated in all states.
Who do you see these warehouse clubs being marketed to in particular? What is their target audience?
Well, apparently it is supposed to be an Asian American household with children making over $125,000 in annual income a year. According to Business Insider,
that's the model customer, the modal customer, I guess. Why is it? You'd think, oh, people are looking to save money, but it's maybe higher income than we might think. It sounds like
it certainly is, because first of all, I think you're not likely to be able to meet all your grocery needs by shopping in a warehouse stores, because they only carry certain items in bulk, and oftentimes you end up purchasing, especially food items, because you know you need to have significant storage space in a freezer or big refrigerators, and having the car to be able, you know, the transportation to actually carry these things in bulk and to store them until you could actually consume them. But then, you know, if they are non-perishable items like toilet paper and other things, you might be able to buy them in bulk, since you can actually just sort of like use them as time goes by. So one need to consider what is it that they are buying and how long it takes them to actually consume them, and also do unit price comparison to make sure that you are really getting a saving out of it.
Talking to Nancy Wong, professor of consumer science at UW-Madison, looking at the economics of the way we shop, when and whether big warehouse stores make sense to do our purchases. All right, Nancy, I'm a person who loves a good bargain on the one hand. On the other hand, I don't want to do a whole lot of research before I buy ketchup. Like, are there good rules of thumbs to figure out what I should buy where?
Well, actually, I think non-perishables, I think warehouse clubs are a good place to buy them. And if you have the storage space for it, I think they are generally, I think, a good bargain. But at the same time, you also need to factor in the membership price that you pay. So if you're not buying a lot of stuff from these warehouse stores, you may not be able to make up for, I think, what you have to pay for your membership fee.
Now, getting back to the low-income consumers who maybe can't afford that membership fee, can't buy things in bulk from time to time, are there proven methods to help them stretch their shopping dollars?
I think so. I guess there are some stores that are known for, I think, value pricing. I can't say that I would want to advocate for any stores in particular.
Sure.
But I think there are certain stores such as Trader Joe's, for example, I guess, you know, there are certain items that they are known for that actually offer you really good value without requiring you to have to pay for membership fee, such as wine and such as certain kind of, I think, grains and various kind of, I think, dips perhaps, or cheeses and, you know, certain breads. So I think there are good places where people can get good value for their money.
And we hear sometimes about places with food deserts, few or even no locally available grocery stores, for example, especially in low-income neighborhoods and cities and in some rural areas. Is that something that worries you, that some places have an abundance of choices to save money, hopefully by comparison shopping? Other places have little or no option.
Yes, that I think it is a serious concern for many, I think, residents of food deserts, especially not only that they have a lack of choices, for even the same items, oftentimes they actually cost more, because when you have to buy small quantities in bodegas and various other smaller stores that actually cannot take advantage of the economies of scale from inventory maintenance and stocking standpoint. So this is the ironic part, that if you live in a food desert, you end up paying more for the same items.
Just in our last minute or so, Nancy, do you see a trend? Are these warehouse stores getting bigger and spreading more, or have we kind of reached peak warehouse, do you think?
I think this is a very good question. I think there are places when probably there are still opportunities for these warehouse shops to come in. But I think there is also this growing movement of buying local that actually speaks to perhaps they are an emergence of, I think, farmers market and the smaller sort of producers that actually are perhaps even perhaps are buying into these community stores, and that actually could probably, you know, exert a different sort of, I think, incentives for people to shop in these stores and buying local. I think, especially in the current situations of the supply chain difficulties, I think buying local seems to be a sounder strategy than ever before.
Interesting. Nancy, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. That's Nancy Wong, professor of consumer science at UW-Madison. We talked to her about some of the pros and cons and the economics of math of shopping at warehouse clubs versus grocery stores, for example.